Well, just thank you all for coming. Really glad that we're able to celebrate mothers today. Like Joel, almost a year ago, my mother went to be with the Lord. And you know, I find how important mothers are in our lives. And my mother was very diligent and faithful in the lives of my brothers and I. And the last 10 years of my mom's life, she had severe health problems and mobility problems. Found it hard to be able to leave the house. And, you know, I think a lot of people would say, well, how was my mom able to fulfill the Great Commission? How was my mom able to fulfill that purpose in her life if she wasn't able to go out a lot? She was able to go see people a lot. And she was able to do that through witnessing to her doctors and nurses and healthcare people who took care of her. She saw it as an opportunity for her. So she allowed God to work through her to be able to witness to these people. She was dependent on the Holy Spirit to boldly proclaim the gospel message. So if you would, please join me in prayer. Dear Father, I just thank you, Lord, for today, Lord. I thank you for the Way Fellowship Church, Lord. And Lord, I just pray today, Lord, that through this message on Ephesians chapter 6, that you would be able to allow us to see what we're supposed to do, what you would like us to do with our lives, Lord, and that we can obey you, Lord, and be able to go out and boldly proclaim the gospel message to those around us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. The main scripture passage today is Ephesians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. It's Ephesians chapter 6, 19 and 20. And it says, "And also for me, the words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mysteries of the gospel, for which I am ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak." Now, in order for us to really dig into this, we're going to have to read through the armor of God. So I'll be getting to that later. The central truth for this message is it is only through the empowerment from and dependence upon the Holy Spirit that a believer can fulfill the purpose of boldly proclaiming the mystery of the gospel. So it is only through the empowerment from and dependence upon the Holy Spirit that the believer can fulfill the purpose of proclaiming the mysteries of the gospel. This sermon would be a lot different if it hadn't been for what happened Wednesday. Wednesday, Rebecca and I went to see my cardiologist. I have a condition that affects my whole body, and it specifically affects connective tissue and blood vessels. So he had me get an MRI a couple weeks ago on my head and neck. He thought there was some carotid arteries in my neck, so he wanted to look at those. And as it turns out, there was no issue with the arteries, but he saw something in my brain that looked like some type of hemorrhage. So this upcoming week, I'm going to see a specialist in the neurovascular area of neurovascular. So you know, I think about it from the outside, that might seem like it's completely from left field. You know, where did that happen? How did that even come up? But the way I see it is, it's all a part of God's plan. God wants me to live in complete dependence upon Him and Him alone. So Paul is making this point in the last part of Ephesians. He's making this point. He's coming to this point of our complete dependence upon God. So we are to boldly proclaim the message, the gospel message, with our reliance and dependence on the Holy Spirit to direct and guide us. So before we get back to verses 19 and 20, I'm going to have to start with verse 10 of Ephesians 6. And starting in verse 10, he says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might." this is an indication that all Christians need to find their strength in the Lord. Paul spent a good portion of this letter to the Ephesians addressing issues like the greatness of the purpose of God in Christ, the standards of Christian living, the fellowship of the church, and right above this passage he talks about the family. But now he gets to our dependence on God. So the first point is, our purpose for hard times is to find our strength in God. The purpose for us dealing with hard times is to depend on God. God wants us to depend on Him, and that's part of the purpose for hard times in our life, is so we will depend on Him. From this passage of verse 10, talking about finding our strength in the Lord, he goes on to talk about what's called the armor of God. And many of you may have heard other people preach on it and have done studies on the armor of God. The armor of God is what allows us to stand up to the spiritual warfare that we have to deal with in this world. So I'm going to continue in verse 11. It says, "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm." So the armor of God, that's what helps us to stand against the devil and to stand against the day-to-day trials of this world and this life. And it is complete dependence on God. It is not something that we somehow gain through our own efforts, that we somehow do enough of our own on our own to get it, or it's not something that we just somehow get through, doing good and hoping that that's enough. It is through complete reliance upon God. Continue on, we're actually going to get into, starting in verse 14, he actually gets into what the armor of God is. So in starting 14 of chapter 6, Paul says, "Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness. And as for shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." So there's a few different things here. First, the act of placing the belt of truth. We're supposed to be committed to truth. We're not supposed to be lying or trying to deceive, but we're supposed to be committed to truth, including the truth of the Word of God. The breastplate of righteousness, we are declared righteous because of what Christ did for us. So that means we're supposed to have also a commitment to righteousness in our own life. But we understand that, Christ is our righteousness ultimately. The shoes for the feet is the gospel of peace. Now, this particular part of the verse is we have a foundation when dealing with spiritual conflict. That is, the foundation is the gospel. So whenever we're feeling like we are not good enough, remember, you're forgiven because of what Christ has done for us. The shield of faith. That draws us more to the reliance upon God that we must always have. And then, of course, there's the helmet of salvation. We know that we are eternally secure with Christ. And then the sword is the word of God. Point two is the purpose of the evil spiritual forces is for our complete dependence on God. The purpose for the evil spiritual forces out there is for our complete dependence on God. Paul comes into this part of the letter in the armor of God, and then he asks for prayer because he knows the Christian life is something that cannot be done alone. He knows that we have to be able to pray for each other in order to get through these spiritual struggles that are going to come our way in life. So Paul says in verse 18, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication, to that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. So it's consistent prayer to the Holy Spirit that is needed for a victorious life. It is almost like the armor of God is meant to allow us to pray for each other. It's meant to allow us to pray for each other. And this implies submitting or surrender to God's will and not trying to live life doing it on our own. Now we come to our main scripture passage today, which is Ephesians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. And it says, and also for me, so he's talking about prayer, and also for me, that the words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. So there's several things here that we can learn from Paul in these two passages. There's several things. I have, I think, six things listed that we could learn from Paul here. The first is that he was asking for prayer because he was aware of the fact that he was in the forefront of spiritual battle. He was aware of the fact that he's in the forefront of spiritual battle. Second, he was asking for prayer because he knows that spiritual warfare is not something that you can do alone. You cannot do it on your own. Third, he was asking for prayer because he understands that it is a great responsibility to proclaim the gospel message of eternal salvation. He specifically asks for the words and the willingness to communicate those words without fear. Fourth, he asks for prayer to proclaim the mystery of the gospel that has now been revealed. And I want to pull out some scripture passages that talk about specifically this mystery. So if you could turn to Ephesians chapter 3. And I'm going to read verses 2 to 4 and verses 8 to 9. So starting in verse 2, it says, assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you, how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I have written briefly. When you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ. And then, continuing in verse 8, to me, though, I am the very least of the saints. This grace was given to me to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to bring to light for everyone what is the plain mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things. So it's important that we do not confuse that the mystery of the gospel is, or the intentions of the mystery of the gospel to be revealed. There are many different groups out there who will say they have some type of secret or mystery, whether religious or non-religious group. Usually what it involves is some upfront commitment or investment, and then they'll tell you what this mystery is. When I was in college, I was looking for a good college-age Bible study or Christian group to belong to. And I saw these two men doing a Bible study in the food court at college. And so I approached them, and it turns out they're from a group that you have to get baptized into their church. Now, I had already been baptized, and there's nowhere in Scripture where I read that you need to have baptism in order to be saved. So these people were essentially telling me that I had to get baptized in their church and then submit to their teachings, and then they would share this mystery. But Paul makes it very clear that the mystery of the gospel is something that we're supposed to proclaim up front. And it's something that we're not holding back any of the truth. We're up front about the full truth of the gospel message. No strings attached. Going back to verses 19 to 20, fifth, Paul was asking for prayer to boldly proclaim the gospel God had entrusted him. And he was not asking for success or from the deliverance of danger. He was asking for boldness to proclaim the gospel. And sixth, he was asking for prayer as an ambassador in chains to be able to open his mouth and proclaim the gospel as an ambassador of the King of Kings. So here we have Paul in his chains because of proclaiming the gospel. And now he is asking for prayer to continue to proclaim the gospel. This brings us to our third point today, which is our purpose in life is to open up our mouth and share the gospel with other people. Purpose in life is to open our mouth and share the gospel with others. So often in this life, especially here in America, where the world impresses upon us the American dream, living like the Joneses, as it were said, that we forget our true purpose. It is not the fancy car. It is not the fancy home. It is not the fancy vacation. But it is to proclaim the gospel. Instead, Paul, like we should be doing, was asking for prayer from others regarding those six things above in verses 19 and 20. And it's important to remember that before this period in Paul's life, he was traveling around. He was planting churches and proclaiming the gospel to many, many different people. Paul did not allow the imprisonment to hinder his desire to proclaim the gospel to others. And that brings us to our fourth point today. Our purpose is not to do it all, but to be willing to speak when there is an opportunity. Our purpose is not to be doing it all, but rather to be willing to speak when there is an opportunity. And there's a kind of a neat thing that happened this week. Monday, I was going to pick Rebecca up from school. She had a break in between exams. She was giving out her final exams. And I was going to be trying to pick her up to, you know, go have a cup of coffee. And while I pulled into the school, I get a call for a phone interview. I had applied. I'm applying for a to teach fifth grade at a local school, and so I get a call. Wasn't expecting it or anything, and Rebecca happened to be outside waiting for me, grading some papers, and this provided the opportunity for her and one of the security guards there. It's a young man. That's I believe she said he's a Ivy League graduate. To kind of just to introduce themselves and exchange small talk. This opened the door for later on. At the end of the day, she was able to actually talk to this guy. And the way Rebecca says is that she was just there and willing to talk to this guy. She wasn't actually controlling the conversation. This guy brings up the fact that he is a substitute teacher in grade school. And he was talking with this one student, and it was after class, and the student had brought up something about God. And this guy was talking to Rebecca about this, his experience with the student, how the student said he was a Christian, and it brought up some other opportunities for this guy to talk to this kid. And this guy was asking Rebecca if this conversation was appropriate, given that Rebecca is a teacher. And it's kind of funny, this opportunity allowed Rebecca to tell this guy that she was a Christian. She, too, believed in Jesus Christ. And so this guy said he hopes to be able to talk to her at another time. So you know, I think that this opened up, this planted the seed for perhaps future appointment from God. I think this is definitely from God. God set everything up. She didn't have to make it happen. God made it happen. She was just willing to do it. So, you know, we don't have to be making everything happen. We just have to be willing and open and available to do it. So in conclusion, I'd like to in a sense, make a challenge. I see it, two different types of people. There's the notion of the self-made man, and there's the example of Paul in chains. Can I have three people, volunteers, to read some scripture for me? The first one I need is Psalm 39, verses 4 to 6. If someone could read that. Got it? And then the second is James 4, 13 to 17. And then the third will be 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 21 and 25. Could you read a psalm when you get it? You got it? So we have the Bible on the one hand, and we have on the other hand the self-made man is independent and thinks that he holds his future in his own hands. So he thinks he's independent, he thinks he's going to do it all. If someone could read James chapter 4, verses 13 to 17. This goes back to the future aspect that, you know, he could hold the future. He determines what his future is on the one hand. And then chapter 4 of James, verse 13 to 17. So we see here that, you know, the Bible tells us clearly that we're not supposed to be worrying about the future. I'm not supposed to be worrying about, I have an appointment Thursday, I'm not supposed to be worried about that. They have no control over what's going to happen or the outcome of that. It's in God's hands. But, you know, the self-made man wants to think that he's in control of his whole universe, so he can dictate what the future has. And then the last verse is 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 21 and 25. So we see here that, you know, on the one hand, the Bible tells us, you know, about the foolishness of, you know, what we consider foolishness of God, and, you know, on the other hand, you have the self-made man who thinks he knows best. Regarding the, you know, presentation of the gospel, he's going to be the type that thinks that he needs to make the gospel presentation more entertaining and more glamorous, because he's the one in control of who's going to respond to it and who's not. But the scripture obviously makes it very clear that that's not how we're supposed to do it. And Paul, on the other hand, is very different than that. Paul was content with being a prisoner. He wasn't asking to be released from prison. He was content with being a prisoner. And he didn't need to be free in order to preach the gospel message. Paul also didn't need to be in control in order for the gospel message to be spread. So he didn't need to be in control of what was happening. He knew that God was in control. So I ask this question, who are you? Are you the self-made man, or are you like Paul in chains? just willing to be obedient and available for God. You know, when it comes to sharing the good news of Christ, you can be like my mom, who is limited in her contact with others, but monopolized opportunities to be able to present the gospel message to those who were her doctors and caregivers. Or, you know, maybe like Rebecca, who responded to someone at work and was able to present the gospel that way. And I just say that, you know, wherever you are on the spectrum, wherever you're at in life, you know, you could really, all you really need to do is be available and dependent on God. And after all, he's the one who does the saving. We're not. If you would, please close with me in prayer. Dear Father, I just thank you, Lord, for just your faithfulness, Lord, and the fact that you're the solid rock that we could stand on, Lord. That I just pray that we can go out in this world this week, Lord, and just lean on you, Lord, and be dependent on you, Lord, and not try to worry about the future or try to take control of the situations, Lord, but instead be dependent on you, Lord. I pray that you give us opportunities to present your gospel to others. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.